Cardiff Garcia, happy tax week. Woo.
No.
Okay, well, your taxes are paid. That's good, right?
Yeah, that's like, it's a relief.
Small celebration.
It's paid. It's a relief. It's over.
And, you know, Cardiff, this celebration that we can have about having paid our taxes, it's relatively recent.
That is true. Income taxes were not always really a thing in the U.S. That is, until recently.
Yeah, for a long time, your income came in. That was it.
Yeah,
you could spend it, I guess, if you wanted, but no taxes. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, when we became an income tax nation and why. Also, we talked to someone who wrote a book called Learning to Love Form 1040. What?
Do you love your 1040?
I haven't gotten all the way to love yet.
Okay, but it's a journey. You're on a journey.
That's exactly.
I love that he wrote a book called Learning to Love Form 1040, and he himself has not yet learned to love Form 1040.
It's a hard sell.
Plus, there's a song that the government itself commissioned to sell income taxes to Americans.
And Cardiff's going to sing it.
Wait, what?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Charles Schwab. Schwab wants you to question the way your broker works. Do they offer low costs, award-winning service, and a satisfaction guarantee? If you don't like their answers, ask again at Schwab. Visit schwab.com/compareus to learn more. Support also comes from BetterHelp, online counseling by licensed professional counselors specializing in issues including depression, stress, and anxiety. Visit BetterHelp.com/indicator to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
For most of U.S. history, the federal government did not really get money from income taxes. Larry Zelenak is professor of tax law at Duke's Law School and the author of the book Learning to Love Form 1040. He says income taxes weren't really a thing until the 1940s.
Well, wait a minute. Something is just occurring to me. It's a little bit off topic. But so when Benjamin Franklin said the only two certainties in life are death and taxes, there was no income tax.
There were certainly local property taxes and tariffs.
Tariffs. Taxes on imported goods. The U.S. government got most of its money from tariffs. And this served a couple of functions in the young U.S. economy. First, it raised a lot of money. And second, it gave U.S. industry, which was, you know, just starting out, a little bit of a leg up against big, powerful economies like France and Britain.
But there was a downside. Tariffs are a so-called regressive tax. And regressive means that the tax is harder on people who earn less money. Tariffs are regressive because the tax applies equally to everyone.
Yes. For instance, if I earn $20,000 a year and Cardiff makes like $90,000 a year and we both buy the same German lawnmower and the lawnmower has a 25% tariff on it, both Cardiff and I pay the same price for the lawnmower, the same tax rate, even though Cardiff has way more money than I do. Cardiff in his money bags.
Yeah, and back in the 1700s and 1800s when there was like a 300 or 400% gender wage gap that you just applied there.
And a lot of German lawnmowers.
But anyways, a lot of people who pushed for income taxes in the early days used this argument. If you taxed a person's income at a percentage, it would be more fair. Because then Stacey and I would pay different amounts of money to reflect the fact that we make different amounts of money. It could be progressive, a progressive tax. But there were just not a lot of champions for an income tax in the first place.
Hard thing to fight for. Until, of course, the Civil War. The government needed money in a big way, so it put an income tax in place. But eventually, that income tax was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court.
Still, the idea of an income tax was kind of out there. Plus, the government was growing, and the U.S. population was growing, and the country needed more money. So politicians got together and wrote a constitutional amendment to allow a federal income tax.
In February of 1913, The requisite was 3/4 of the states ratified the income tax amendment, the 16th Amendment.
The 16th Amendment. Let's make that today's indicator. 16, the amendment that made tax week possible.
Mixed feelings about our indicator.
Like strongly ambivalent feelings, yeah.
Here's what the amendment said. Quote, "The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration."
Not the snappiest language.
These people are not poets, evidently.
Even so, that was how an income tax was born.
Behold.
But it was kind of semi-symbolic at the time. It raised, in its first year of operation, something like $30 or $40 million of revenue, which even then wasn't much. It applied to just 1 or 2% of the population. Most of the people who had to pay it paid tax at the rate of 1%, and the highest rate anybody had to pay was 7%. So this wasn't much of a tax.
Mostly, says Larry, the people paying the tax were really wealthy bankers and businessmen, and mostly concentrated in the Northeast. And the amount they paid was so tiny, no one really noticed it.
This changed a few years later, when the U.S. entered World War I.
All of a sudden, tariffs weren't very effective in raising revenue because, there weren't a lot of imports during the war. And there was this huge need for revenue to fight the war. And Congress thought, well, the one obvious place to look for this is the new income tax.
The government jacked the income tax rate way up. Larry says the top income tax rate went from 7% to more than 70%.
That was a so-called marginal tax rate, by the way. So people were not paying a 70% tax on all of their income, just a 70% tax on the amount they made over $300,000, which is in today's dollars, $6 million.
It was a really high tax, but Larry says, it just didn't affect most people at all.
Even at the height of World War I, the percentage of the population that was subject to the income tax was never higher than about 10%.
And the tax rates went back down after the war. And all was quiet on the income tax front. Until?
Another war.
Another war.
World War II.
World War II turned the income tax into a mass tax. So in 1939, something like 5% of households were subject to the income tax. By 1945, it was 75%.
How did people feel about it? How did they react?
So the way they reacted at the time was fine. There was an Irving Berlin song that I think was actually fairly popular called "I Paid My Income Tax Today."
I paid my income tax today. I never felt so proud before.
Snazzy.
I know. So good.
Yeah, that song, by the way, was actually commissioned by the U.S. Treasury. It's all about how paying taxes makes you a real part of the government and is patriotic.
You see those bombers in the sky? Rockefeller helped to build them, so did I. I paid my income tax today.
Of course, after the war, the income tax stuck around, and soon payroll taxes and income taxes became the biggest source of revenue for the federal government by far. Tariffs, on the other hand, now make up less than one half of 1%.
Pros and cons of the income tax.
The biggest pro and the biggest con are opposite sides of the same coin, I'd say, which is that the income tax is so adaptable in terms of running social policy programs through the tax laws.
Want people to donate to charity? Make it a tax write-off.
You want businesses to invest in new equipment? Tax write-off.
You want people to buy houses? Tax write-off.
Congress can use income taxes to encourage and discourage all kinds of behaviors. Larry says it's a really flexible, adaptable tax.
Still, Larry says this also makes income taxes vulnerable. Because if you have a billion write-offs, the government's ability to raise money through an income tax is vulnerable. And raising money is kind of the point.
But there are reasons to love the income tax. Larry says it kind of unites everyone. It unites us all. It makes us feel like we are part of the same system.
You feel like you have some skin in the game when you're looking at how the federal government spends the money. You're aware that it's spending your money. And I think of paying taxes as being one of the two great duties of citizenship, along with voting.
Plus, our mutual hatred of paying taxes also kind of unites us all.
You know what I think this calls for, Cardiff?
A song?
A song. Plus, we promised everybody that you were going to sing in the beginning. And I take promises seriously, but don't worry.
I don't know all the lyrics like you do.
I have the lyrics right here, conveniently enough.
It's inconveniently in my case, yeah.
We paid our income tax today. We never cared what Congress spent, but now we'll watch over every cent. Examine every bill they pay.
They'll have to let us have our say. I wrote the Treasury to go slow. Careful, Mr. Henry Jr., that's my dough.
I paid my income tax today.
Yes, sir.